Good morning. I'm going to give a short talk about Brassica carinata, which is an up-and-coming oilseed crop that we're using as a feedstock for drop-in biofuels. We all know that biofuel demand is going to be increasing for oil prices, energy security, carbon dioxide emission reduction, and of course because fossil fuels are non-renewable. But what are some of the key drivers for biofuel feedstocks? They really need to be sustainable. They need to be a non-food feedstock. We do not want to compete with food, land that's needed for food, especially as populations increase. And of course, they need to have a low carbon input, or footprint, excuse me. So what is a drop-in biofuel? A drop-in biofuel is very similar to petroleum. You can use existing engines and infrastructures without any altercations. For instance, we can use petroleum pipelines to transfer drop-in biofuels. One of the main feedstocks to create drop-in biofuels are algae, woody biomass, crop residue, and of course oilseed crops. Brassica carinata, or Ethiopian mustard it is common name, is an excellent non-food oilseed crop for biofuel production. One of those reasons is carinata seed is very high in oil and actually produces more oil per acre. As you can see, carinata has a 40% oil in its seed. It's very similar to canola and is just a little less than peanut. But if you look at gallons per acre of oil seed production for some of these typical oil seed crops, even carinata produces more oil per acre even than peanut. This is carinata grown up north in our Northern Plains area. But in Florida, we can actually produce up to 200 gallons of oil per acre. Carinata is closely related to canola. In fact, many people will not know the difference seeing it from a distance. Again, it's very high in oil, and the oil is high in uricic acids and glucosinolates, which make it a non-food oilseed crop. It has a high protein seed meal after crushing, up to 40% protein in the seed meal, which makes it an excellent animal supplement. It adapts well to marginal lands, and it is resistant to biotic and abiotic stressors, including drought and heat tolerance. Some of the benefits of using carinata versus canola, because canola is the cousin to carinata, is that carinata oil produces higher yields of desirable fatty acids for biofuel production. It is also lower in saturated fatty acids. The high concentration of uric acid, which is a carbon 22 molecule, may be broken down, as you can see here, into gasoline, jet fuel, and diesel fuel. C22 or higher molecules can also produce higher yields of jet fuel, and they can be cracked into at least two jet fuel molecules compared to C18 fatty acids, which only will produce one jet molecule. Carinata or canola typically has more C18 fatty acids, which I'll show next. This is a table looking at the fatty acid composition of carinata versus canola. We have also included corn as an example. As you can see, for carinata, there is more of the C22 carbon molecules. In fact, it has greater than 35% of the C22 and higher. And it also has a lot of C18 molecules. But canola only contains, the majority of it is C18. Also, another point I want to make out is the many different fatty acids contained in canola oil, in carinata oil versus canola oil. This is going to be important to remember later, because the more fatty acid variety you have, the more different molecules you'll have after cracking, the closer it's going to look to a true drop-in fuel. Carinata originates from the Ethiopian highlands. That is a temperate climate, and it has warm, dry periods. That makes it works very well for summer production up in the northern part of the plains and into southern Canada. It has been grown commercially for 2 years in Canada already, and it has recently moved down into the Dakotas and Montana. Now, Florida, we have the unique opportunity that we can grow year-round, especially in the North Florida region. Our winter is actually going to be quite similar to the climate in the northern prairies. So, right, summer. Our winter is going to be similar to the summer up there. So this gives farmers the unique opportunity not only to have an additional cash crop in the winter, it also will give extra benefits at having a cover crop, because in Florida, especially in Florida, we have a problem in the southeast of winter crops, winter land being fallow. By adding an additional cash and giving them an incentive to plant something during the winter fallow season, we may be able to improve soil and actually produce money. So, again, why is it an important crop for Florida and the southeast United States? The potential winter crop income is up to $750 per acre. Again, remember, we can produce up to 200 gallons of carinata oil per acre in Florida. We can grow it on warm season perennial grass pastures in the winter, when the grass will be dormant, and also on fallow winter row crop land. If we can just get 15 to 18% of farmer if we can get 15 to 18% of farmers to grow carinata for biofuel production, that it could produce up to 100 million gallons of biofuel per year, making a significant contribution to biofuel demand in the future. Another benefit of growing carinata for the southeastern United States is that we can grow it on marginal land because it uses lower input costs. It needs less input. And that is going to be a benefit, especially for the small and medium-sized farms, where they will have more of the marginal lands, not the higher fertility lands, and they can produce an extra income. Another reason why this is an important crop for Florida is that carinata also has cover crop benefits. One of the big reasons is going to be soil quality. Everyone knows, some people may not like me in this group. Switchgrass, corn, sugarcane all remove organic matter from site. Carinata only removes the seed, leaving the organic matter, the residue, on site. This is going to help either keep up your soil quality or improve it. And in the southeast, especially during the winter months, we have quite an erosion problem on all that fallow land. So adding carinata will help with erosion protection. This is actually peanut grown after carinata. Even after several months, you can still see a lot of residue on site. Again, in addition, carinata in the winter, growing it as a cover crop will help with weed reduction, disrupt the disease and pest cycle, and help to capture excess N from previous crops, helping to reduce nitrogen leaching into groundwater. In Florida, this is a major problem, especially in our high sandy areas. We currently have a grant from the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, FDACS, looking at the evaluation and development of management practices for carinata in Florida. Our objectives include finding superior genotypes. This means carinata that is well adapted to Florida, that has a high yield and also high oil. We're looking at best management practices, which actually Dr. Sepal will be presenting in the next presentation. Ecosystem services, we're looking to see how carinata affects soil quality and following crop yields. We have initiated growers into carinata production for biofuels, and we'll be starting feed efficiency trials to see how the glucosinolate levels in the carinata seed meal will affect cattle. In addition, we are working with Applied Research Associates, ARA, in Panama City on their conversion of carinata oil into a true drop-in biofuel. Currently, we have our first production manual in review. Just this past month, we have conducted grower meetings, and we now have 3,000 acres committed to planting into Carinata, this, which will be planted this month. We will be starting feed trials, and this, okay, I'm not a chemical engineer, so I'm going to try to explain this as easy as I can. ARA has developed this process. It is patented in 2010. It is a high temperature hydrothermal process that converts plant oils into biofuels with water as the mediator. It produces a true 100% drop-in biofuel. This, they can optimize for diesel or they can optimize for jet fuels. If they optimize for jet fuels, they can get about 30% each of diesel, jet, and gasoline biofuels. Their trademark fuels are Ready Jet and Ready Diesel. This is a comparison of ARA's Ready Jet versus standard petroleum jet fuel. You can see how similar they are, showing that Ready Jet really is a true drop-in biofuel. Each dot represents a different compound. They're showing the paraffins, cycloparaffins, and aromatics. If you remember that table that I showed before with the list of fatty acids, this is one of the reasons why Carinata helps to produce a true drop-in fuel. All those fatty acids, when they are broken up, produces a lot of different molecules. So to prove that the Ready Jet fuel is a 100% biofuel, it has been flown in 2012. The Canadians use it to fly a commercial jet on 100% Ready Jet fuel. They found a 50% reduction in aerosol emissions during flight, and they also found more thrust per gallon than petroleum fuels. And I should mention the Navy, who ARA has a contract with, that's why we have planted 3,000 acres planted right now, that is to help ARA meet their goal of producing so much of the biofuels to deliver to the Navy. The Navy is planning on flying a jet by 2016 on a drop-in biofuel produced 100% from American supplied feedstocks. So in summary, Carinata's characteristics as a superior feedstock for biofuel, drop-in biofuels, it produces a higher yield and has a better fatty acid composition to many other oilseed crops. It is a sustainable feedstock that can be produced on marginal lands, which may be more important for small or medium-sized farmers where they can get an additional revenue during the winter months. It is heat and drought tolerant. In Florida, during the winter months, we do have some drought. It is droughty. It grows well, even though we do have some cold spells. It is a winter cash crop with cover crop benefits. Unlike some of the biomass energy crops, it will not remove the organic matter, helping to improve soil quality. And more importantly, something that is mandated for future feedstocks, it is a non-food oil, so we are not competing with land for food feedstocks. Do we have any questions?
Thank you, Speaker. We have time for a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned we have some cold spells. For everything from the Great Plains and we down to our top of the winters in North Florida. Last year it got down to 18 degrees.
Yes.
So what is the frost tolerance of the crop? Is that a concern in your research?
It is, and actually Andy will be talking about that in the next presentation. I don't want to spoil it. Go ahead.
What is the oil profile difference between high acidic rapeseed compared to Carinata?
I could not tell you.
This canola just has, you know, the reduction in the high acidic acid.
Right.
Lucidolate, so I was wondering what, before the Canadians converted it to canola, what the difference is.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I could not tell you. Go ahead.
What is the state of our marginal land?
I'm sorry.
What is the state of our marginal land?
it will produce, of course, it's going to produce less yield. We still predict that it'll predict at least 100 gallons of oil per acre on marginal land. That means land that you're putting very little input into. So if someone wants to plant on a pasture that has been fertilized, you're still going to get a yield. It is able to capture nitrogen from deeper in the soil. It is a scavenger.
Okay, I'll have to cut it off there. Thank you very much.